From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
VOI listener, here is the news. First, the headlines. 25 countries confirmed to attend the Archipelagic and Island States Summit in October. Trudeau says serious about Canada's relations with India despite Roe. And now the news in details. The first news. Indonesia is ready to hold the Archipelagic and Island States Summit on 10th to 11th October 2023. According to Director General of Multilateral Cooperation at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Tri Tariat, Friday in Jakarta, Indonesia has invited 51 archipelagic countries, both large and small island, and until now 25 high-ranking officials have confirmed their attendance. As of today, there have been 25 high-ranking officials who will represent the countries that Indonesia has invited. It consists of 7 heads of government, 6 deputy prime ministers, and ministerial-level representatives. And the rest consist of representatives at ministerial level, deputy secretary general or director general or ambassadors, and Indonesia is still waiting for the confirmation from other countries. Moreover, Tri Tariat has further explained that the AIS Summit is an Indonesian initiative that has been organized since 2018. According to him, this summit is an important part of Indonesia's maritime diplomacy, which pays attention to solidarity, equality, and mutually beneficial cooperation. The summit will also encourage real and inclusive partnerships from the Global South. Apart from that, he said it is hoped that the AIS summit can produce and encourage concrete cooperation between Indonesia and archipelagic countries in various regions. The second news. Director of Protection of Indonesia's Citizens at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Judah Nugraha, has confirmed that 2 Indonesian citizens in Cambodia, which previously went viral on social media, are already at the Indonesian embassy in Phnom Penh. They are LHF and NS. They previously went viral on official media because they were caught on camera while they were handcuffed. In a statement delivered in Jakarta on Friday, Judah Nugraha confirmed that the 2 Indonesian citizens previously contacted the Indonesian embassy in Phnom Penh on Friday and complained about the problems they were facing. This complaint was immediately followed up by the Indonesian embassy in Phnom Penh by coordinating with the Cambodian police for investigation and rescue steps. According to Judah, the citizens lost contact on Saturday and Sunday, but on Monday, both were released by the company that employed them.
Pada hari Sabtu dan Minggu kita hilang kontak, dan kemudian hari Senin kita
on Saturday and Sunday, the government lost contact, and then the government received information on Monday that the two Indonesian citizens had been released by the company. Perhaps the company was afraid because the government had reported it to the local police that they were likely to be raided. On Tuesday, the two Indonesian citizens came to the Indonesian embassy and the government can confirm that they are in good health psychologically and they look calm. Moreover, Judah Nugraha further encouraged Indonesian citizens to increase their vigilance related to the modes of employment opportunities abroad, which are prone to criminal acts of human trafficking and online scam practices. According to Judah, up to now, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has handled 2,813 human trafficking and online scams cases. The third news. The Directorate General of Village Government Development at the Ministry of Home Affairs has emphasized the importance of commitment from all stakeholders to accelerate sustainable village development. According to the Ministry, Director of Village Development Evaluation, Muhammad Noval, in a statement issued on Thursday, the development must not only be in terms of infrastructure, but also the quality of village human resources. He also said excellent resources and human resources will be able to manage natural resource constraints, leading to community prosperity and enhanced village economies. The fourth news, labor absorption in the infrastructure development project in the new national capital Nusantara in Penajam Pasir Utara district, East Kalimantan, has continued to grow, reaching 9,976 workers. Labor absorption in the Nusantara city infrastructure development has continued to increase. This was said by Deputy of Social, Cultural, and Community Development at the Nusantara Capital City Authority, Ali Mudin, on Thursday, as reported by Antara News Agency. As per the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry's records, the number of workers engaged in Nusantara's development has currently reached 9,976, an increase of 3,276 from 6,700 in May 2023. The fifth news. Manpower Minister Ida Fauzia stated that the government would soon create a presidential instruction containing improvement in the management placement and protection of Indonesian migrant workers from upstream to downstream. According to Minister Ida Fauzia, the president asked for collaborative work between ministries and agencies. The government will soon create a presidential instruction that details the tasks of each ministry and agency, the central, regional to village governments. The sixth news. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has said his country is serious about building closer ties with India despite an ongoing diplomatic row. His latest remarks come at a time when ties between the two countries are at an all-time low. As reported by BBC.com, tensions flared up when Trudeau on 19 September said Canada was investigating credible allegations of India's involvement in the murder of Sikh separatist leader. Delhi dismissed the claims as absurd. Hardeep Singh Nijjar was murdered outside a temple in Canada in June. Thursday, the Canadian Prime Minister said it was extremely important to constructively and seriously engage with India. And the final news. Tokyo's envoy Fumio Iwai has said that Saudi Arabia's remarkable economic and social transformation now underway is much like the rise of Japan several decades ago. As reported by ArabNews.com, Japan's ambassador made the comments in a lecture on September 28th titled Experience of Japan Through Meiji Restoration at the Abdulrahman Al-Sudairi Cultural Center in Sakaka, Juf Province. Iwai further said there were considerable similarities between the two nations, including the development in industry, culture, job creation, and the passion of the people. And that was the news.
Today's commentary is entitled Second Round of Maldives Presidential Election. Maldives will hold a second round of election on September the 30th to elect its fourth president since the country implemented a multi-party presidential system in 2008. Incumbent President Ibrahim Mohamed Soleh from the Maldivian Democratic Party will compete closely with Mohamed Moizu, a candidate from the opposition party. In the first round of election on September the 9th, Mohamed Moizu from the Progressive Party of Maldives surprisingly won 46% of the vote, while Soleh won 39%. Mohamed Moizu topped but failed to win majority in a hotly contested presidential election. The foreign policies of these two candidates appear to be of primary concern to many international observers. It is estimated that this will be one of the considerations for voters when casting their votes. Ibrahim Mohamed Soleh is known to actively promote close relations with India through an India First policy. Meanwhile, the Maldives Progressive Party, which supports Moizu and some activist groups, regularly stages street protests demanding a reduction in India's influence in the country. Moizu's party says India's heavy influence is a threat to sovereignty and accuses India of aiming to establish a permanent military presence in the island nation. It says Moizu's election will help free the Maldives from foreign interference. Mohamed Moizu, in his campaign, did not openly promote a foreign policy that was more inclined towards Beijing. But while serving as one of the ministers during Abdullah Yamin's government, Mohamed Moizu leaned towards Beijing, and the Maldives was recipient of financial assistance from China's Belt and Road Infrastructure Program. The foreign policy of these two candidates could be a factor for voters in determining their choice, but it is not the main consideration. Realizing this, since losing in the first round on September the 9th, Soleh, as quoted by Channel News Asia on September the 28th, has tried to gather support by campaigning on local issues such as housing. Meanwhile, Moizu's Progressive Party of Maldives kept the debate focused. focus on diplomacy by criticizing Soli's stance on India, a country with enormous political and economic influence in the Maldives. Each candidate tries to win the hearts of the people by raising issues they consider interesting. Maldivian people just have to make choices based on rational considerations. In voting, the Maldivian people must realize that their choice in the second round of the election tomorrow, September the 13th, will determine the fate of the Maldives in the future. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history begins with September the 29th, 1955. Indonesia holds the first general election for the House of Representatives. The first general election to elect members of the House of Representatives of the Republic of Indonesia was held on September the 29th, 1955. At that time, 30 parties took part in the Democratic Legislative Election contest for 250 seats in the House. As a result, the Indonesian National Party won the most votes and got 57 seats in the House. Meanwhile, the second position is occupied by Nahdlatul Ulama with 45 seats. Furthermore, there is also the Indonesian Communist Party, which gets 29 seats, which is then followed by the Indonesian Islamic Syarikat Party with 8 seats. Turning to September the 29th, 2012, the inauguration of Jokowi Basuki Cahaya Purnama as Governor and Deputy Governor of Jakarta in 2012. The Jakarta Regional General Election Commission named Joko Widodo or Jokowi and Basuki Cahaya Purnama or Ahok as the elected Governor and Deputy Governor of Jakarta on September the 29th, 2012. In the second round of the regional head election, Jokowi and Ahok won with 53.82 votes, succeeded in defeating the incumbent governor, Fauzi Bowo, and his partner, Nahrawi Ramli. I'll end today in history with September the 29th, 2000, the first World Heart Day celebrated. World Heart Day is celebrated every September the 29th. This commemoration was campaigned to build awareness and better understanding of people's health, especially the risk of cardiovascular diseases, including hypertension. The activity is supported by more than 100 countries around the world. The World Heart Federation, in collaboration with the World Health Organization, established World Heart Day in 1999. Every year, World Heart Day is celebrated with a different theme. This year, the theme is Use Heart, Know Heart. That was today in history.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on green economy, now a new source for sustainable growth. The green economy can be a new source for sustainable economic growth in Indonesia. That was stated by Coordinating Minister for Economy Erlangga Hartarto when giving a virtual keynote speech at Kata Data Sustainability Action for the Future Economy 2023 in Jakarta on Tuesday, as quoted by Antara. Hartarto said that Indonesia has increased the nationally determined contribution, or NDC, or emission reduction target from 29% to 31.89% independently, and from 41% to 43.20% with international support by 2030. The vision requires a strong collaboration by stakeholders, as well as more access to financial and technology solutions. Therefore, Indonesia stepped up private sector collaboration and encouraged a creative and innovative payment by establishing the Sovereign Wealth Fund, or INA, Environment Fund Management Agency, BPDLH, and Sustainable Development Goals Indonesia want to achieve an open investment project mainly in energy, agriculture, transportation, and environment. Minister Hartarto further remarked the state budget also prioritizes projects for climate change mitigation and encourages climate-friendly activities. Indonesia also has issued carbon price policy via carbon trade and carbon tax with the Presidential Decree No. 98 of 2021 on carbon economy value. Besides, Indonesia introduced demon incentive to quicken the renewable energy sector, such as the electric vehicle luxury goods sales tax regulation, to boost demand for electric vehicles. Not only in national level, Indonesia also encouraged it regionally. In the Indonesian Leadership for ASEAN 2023, Electric Vehicle Ecosystem and ASEAN Carbon Neutrality Development have been agreed. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Saat aku
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Surrounded by a row of mountains such as Merapi, Merbabu, Sindoro, and Sumbing, makes the city of Magelang, Central Java, has many very beautiful natural tourism attractions. One thing you have to visit if you come to Magelang is the Nampan Sukomakmur Tourism Village. The tourism village of Nampan Sukomakmur offers beautiful views of terraces with Mount Sumbing in the background. The terraces in this tourism village are planted with vegetables. Listener, the tourism village of Nampan Sukomakmur is located around 28 kilometers from the city center of Magelang and takes approximately 1 hour to travel. To enter this tourism attraction, you will be charged an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. When you arrive at Nampan Sukomakmur, you will be greeted by cool mountain air because this tourism village is located at an altitude of 1,300 meters above sea level. You are recommended to come in the morning because in the morning, the surrounding scenery is still bright. You can also see beautiful views with the backdrop of Sumbing Hill. Listener, there are so many tourists who come to take selfies to capture the beauty of the plantations and Mount Sumbing behind them in this tourism village. Besides taking photos and the garden embankment, you can also take photos at the viewing posts. The management has provided viewing posts made of wood and bamboo. At the viewing post, you will be higher than the plantation, so you can clearly see the view of the plantation with Mount Sumbing in the background. From the top of this viewing post, you can directly witness the beauty of the sunrise behind the green hills. If you don't have time to see the sunrise, you can wait for the fog to fall. If you are in the viewing post area, it will look like a land of clouds. Because the entire surface is covered with fog, this phenomenon usually occurs in the afternoon toward evening or during the rainy season, where the rain will bring fog down. Apart from taking photos, in this tourism village of Nampan Sukomakmur, you can also jog, walk or cycle because there are fairly flat paths available. The Downs Roads. The trek here is quite challenging with ups and downs roads. For those who like camping, this tourism village also provides a place to camp. The camping atmosphere in this village is very pleasant. The Nampan Sukomakmur Tourism Village is equipped with supporting facilities such as toilets, mosques, markets, and food stalls. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
We'll be right back. jadi milikku? Mungkinkah jadi milikku? Oh, semakin ku kejar, semakin kau jauh. Tak pernah letih untuk dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi.
Still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about a team of students and lecturers of Pajajaran University or UNPAD in Bandung, West Java that developed a bleaching for used cooking oil named Taborai. The research came from the fact that currently only brownish used up cooking oil that can be made clear again. So the team developed a clarifier for dark brown to black used cooking oil. In Hanida, a lecturer of Agricultural Science Technology Faculty at UNPAD said, one sachet of Taborai contains a clarifier tablet and bleaching earth for 1 liter of used cooking oil. The tablet is put into the oil and then heated up with small fire for 2 minutes while being stirred. After that, the stove is turned off and the tablet is taken from the oil. The bleaching earth is then put according to the dose, then mixed evenly. Later, the oil is put in a container, and after 24 hours, the oil needs to be separated from the bleaching earth sediment. Corn cob was chosen as the basic ingredient for the bleaching earth, since it can absorb free radicals from used cooking oil. The team made the bleaching earth so that the users can live healthily. Besides, according to InIn, they also aim to reduce waste from used cooking oil from the people, which can pollute the environment. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's edition of Music Corner presents an Aceh traditional song entitled Doda Idi. Doda Idi is known as a lullaby in Acehnese. Doda comes from the word pedoda, meaning to sway, while idi means to swing. In Aceh traditions, someone who usually sings doda idi is the mother, who sings the song to their children in their embrace or on a swing. The lyrics of doda idi contains advice about morals, manners, and the spirit of the Acehese people's struggle against colonialism. Another message in the song Doda Idi is that in life, don't be too arrogant and always stick to religion. The song Doda Idi, which you will soon hear, sung by Safira Amalia, was uploaded to the 41 Project official YouTube account as of September 25, 2023, almost 2 million people had watched it. Listeners, here is Doda Idi from Nanggro Aceh, Darussalam. Please enjoy.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku yang pernah engkau kuatkan, aku yang pernah kau bangkitkan, aku yang pernah kau beri rasa. Saat ku terjaga hingga ku terlelap nanti, selama itu aku akan selalu mengingatmu. Kapan lagi ku tulis untukmu tulisan indahku yang dulu pernah warnai dunia, puisi terindahku hanya untukmu. Mungkinkah kau kan kembali lagi menemaniku menulis lagi, kita arungi
South Indonesia.
bagaikan terkenang semua kenangan yang telah ku alami. Ingin ku buka lembar baru untuk meneruskan hidupku. Tak mau lagi kesedihan selimuti diriku. Semua orang ingin bahagia menjalani hidup di dunia.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.